Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Well, hello there. It's Garbled Twistery. And what is the sitch? Well, right now, we're still looking at vice principal candidates for that Rudy Tooty 1824 election. And this next guy has a fun name, so I'm hoping he has led a rather fun life. That would be cool, wouldn't it? So how about we get this Nathan Bacon sizzling? So, Nathan, of the Bacon, was born in South Carolina because, of course, you were born in South Carolina with a name like that. His dad's name was Gideon, a very underrated name in my honest opinion. He was an army guy. Bacon's mom was Priscilla Jones, also a pretty cool mystery novel name. His grandpa, also Gideon, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it, was one of those rowdy French human knots. Oh, Martha Dandruff, Jorge's wife? Yeah, Nathan Bacon's her second cousin, lol. Anyways, he lived in this whole complex that his dad made called Bacon Manor. Yeah, if it doesn't scream South Carolina Bean, I don't know what does. Nathan Bacon was born there as the sixth child in the family. And Daddy Bacon? Yeah, he kicked the bucket when our guy was like two. And Dad died while owning 3,000 acres and like 30 enslaved humans. So now the two-year-old has inherited several parcels of freaking land and like three slaves. A two-year-old slave owner. This is out freaking outrageous. Won't somebody please call John Jay? Let's change the subject before I lose my mind again. Who is Priscilla? Who did she remarry again? Oh, it was some guy named James Ransom. And she and the neighbors were able to hire Peter Pettigrew's grandpa Charlie to help out with the whole education thing. I mean, what can I say? The Pettigrew was the original ABC Mouse. Then Nathan Bacon went to Princeton, as rich people do, and dropped out, as rich entrepreneurs habitually do, for like every commitment ever. When the first Great American Temper Tantrum kicked off, Bacon Man was pretty on board at first, but then he noticed that all his bougie friends were studying lawyer stuff and felt some major FOMO. So he just quit the whole war, went home, studied lawyer stuff for like 3 years, then joined the war again and showed up at the Battle of Camden pretending like he was there the whole time. I see you're in game, Nathan Bacon. Okay, let's shift away from the shenanigans and toward the love life, shall we? Well, as it turns out, Bacon loves plumbers as much as plumbers love bacon. Seeing as Nathan Bacon met some girl named Hannah Plummer and literally tried to win her hand in marriage via card game, not only that, but the bacon idiot lost the game, so Hannah was supposed to marry the winner, but Hannah was like, "No, I'm a plumber. I want bacon." So they got married anyways, and they were happy about it. Also, the Baconator really got along with his in-laws. Seriously, he tag-teamed with the Battle Plumber, and they straight up took over and dictated the entire political climate of South Carolina Bean. Interestingly, the Battle Plumber lived in like the oldest house in town. In other news, Bacon and the Plumber had three kids, Betsy, another plumber, and Senora. The new plumber didn't make it past 10 years old. Also, Hannah the Plumber straight up died at like 29 years old, and even though Bacon was a young 32-year-old chap, I got a feeling he ain't gonna do the whole marriage thing again. He's really not in it for the benefits, if you know what I mean. I mean, come on! He buried her in the yard next to the kid that died with a whole pile of flint laid on top so nobody could cultivate the land there. Remarriage? Out of the question. But whatever. Let's talk about where Bacon and the Plumber moved when they got hitched, 'cause this is a fun little gem. You see, The legendary couple moved to the edge of some hub quarter creek and made the whole bucket water plantation there. They had like 500 acres of freaking land on each side of the stupid creek because they're too bougie and southern. It eventually grew to like 2,000 freaking acres with like 70 enslaved humans on it because South Carolina's gonna South Carolina. He was also raising thoroughbred horses on it and foxhounds for hunting. He was also a judge man at the local Fancy Pants Academy because, of course, he's rich and his name is Bacon. He even got Man Ray to visit and go fox hunting while that man was Prezzy Wezzy. If that doesn't indicate what absurd Southern rich people shenanigans are, I don't know what does. But let's throw away the thoroughbred fluff and puff. Why is this South Carolinian slave owner even a potential VP candidate? No, really. What kind of nonsense political shenanigans allowed for that to be the case? Well, back in the 1780s, he was in the North Carolina being Senate for a couple years, and he hated the Constitution. He was all about making sure big government can't touch his bougie stuff. Another fun fact, when the Bacon Man was in the big boy Congress, he was always saying no to, like, everything. Like, in terms of voting absolutely not, Nathan Bacon had the record. But, I mean, he's just a spoiled South Carolina farm boy. Of course he negates everything, being what he was. Obviously he hated Alexander Hamilton. He was also unrealistically strict about any and every situation that has to do with public money. In summary, this man was radically ridiculous. He liked how Tommy J and Billy Madison were dealing with France, though, so there's that. I bet you want to know some of the finer details, though, surrounding this radically ridiculous Bacon Man and his policy positions. Well, I got some examples for you. When everybody was talking about building a whole navy back in the 1790s, Bacon hated the idea because it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. Jay Treaty hated it, as any respectable Democrat Republican should. The not war in France hated that. Johnny A trying to stop those Irish immigrants from voting hated that. Tommy J being a sneaky boy and writing some inflammatory nonsense that might lead to a national implosion later on, Bacon loved that. Between 1800 and 1810, Nathan Bacon was straight up speaking on behalf of the big boy House of Reps multiple times, and his slave and landowning self loved the big fat Neapolitan ice cream sale. In fact, he loved it so much that he tried to get Tommy J to hunker down and buy Disney World. Tommy J, liking the man's spunk, tried to get Mr. Bacon to be the headmaster of the freaking post office, but Bacon refused because, really, honestly, whoever wanted to be in charge of the whole post office? But yeah, Nathan Bacon eventually cut ties with Tommy Pickles because he thought the man was getting soft. Yeah, remember when I talked about the seeds of passive aggression in the Democrat-Republican Party? This man is one of those seeds, I tell ya. Indeed, he turned into a squid! He was being too extra about it, though, so he barely got a third House of Reps term and didn't even run for a fourth because he was getting bored with the whole racket anyways and wanted to do foreign relations or whatever, so he ran that committee instead. When it comes to the 1812 nonsense, this dude was out here trying to pass a bill that said, don't give the tea sippers any money. That one failed, so he tried again with a bill that said, we can only choose to trade with the tea sippers or the baguettes depending on which one isn't going to be all passive aggressive about it. That one was successful. And the Baconator liked the revolution redux that was going to happen, even though he was against improving the army and against raising taxes, which begs the question, how in the world do you think a war against freaking Imperial Tea Land is going to be won without an army or the money to make an army, Nathaniel? I swear, this Southerner is too much. As far as infrastructure is concerned, Nathan Bacon liked the idea of it, but he hated spending taxpayer dollars on, like, anything. So yes, his stance was equally contradictory. And you can forget about a bank or any new taxes whatsoever. Not on Bacon's watch. As for the whole slavery thing, I mean, the dude's got 70 enslaved humans and is from South freaking Carolina. Take a wild guess. This dude was uncompromisingly pro-slavery, and it falls precisely in line with his fierce don't tread on me beliefs. So, why is this fool a VP candidate? Well, the answer's obvious. He's loud, he's annoying, he's extra, and over-the-top patriotic Americans eat that up. No, seriously, they do. Like, the Baconator was asked to run for the whole kit and caboodle, and on cue, he loudly rejected that offer. Personally, all this slave-owning contradiction-having negativity is not quite my tempo, but what can you do? People love their Looney Tunes! If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, paper bags, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to Patreon and find Garbled Twistery and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content in the current bonus in the production phase. Trading those card games, yo, it should be fun. Anyways, next time, we're getting close to the end of the VP candidates for 1824, and it's another new guy, and it's another Nathan, but with a lot less bacon and a lot more sandals resort. Get excited.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Hunker down and buy Disney World.